Thank you. Please sit down. I just wanted to say before I forget, a big thank you to everybody who's contributed in any way for this service today and the whole day. For Christine, for the wonderful display that she's done and the flowers, and for those who have helped lay for the lunch and contributed in any way to the lunch. There are many people that I probably won't name everybody because I'll probably forget somebody, but thank you. It's been lovely to work together to make this a special day. Before we start with our actual parade service, Mike is going to come forward to pray for Don, who is off on his travels.
Perhaps I should just say that Don took early retirement, 25 years ago? Something like that. And since then has been representative of a number of English missions in Southeast Asia, notably in Vietnam and the Philippines, and that's where he's going tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes, so we're just going to pray for him as he goes on his way. Is this working, Morris?
It is.
It is it? Right, okay, good. We'll pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and bless you and praise you for Don. Yes, it seems a long time, 25 years, but Father, we thank you for his commitment to the task of going overseas a couple of times at least every year and visiting the Philippines and Vietnam. So, Father, we just want to thank you and bless you for him and his commitment to that task. And we pray for him as he goes this time, that you will enable him to get out of the country, which was the struggle last time. We pray for the officialdom at Heathrow and other airports and facilities around the world as he travels, which is still difficult at the moment. Just be with him, we pray, and be with those officials in those various countries. Father, we just want to thank you for your hand being upon him. We pray this time that you will just bless him on his way, that you will give him wisdom to know when to speak, the wisdom to know when not to speak, and the wisdom to know what to say when you require him to speak. Just bless him in those challenging and difficult situations that he faces. May he know the anointing of your Spirit upon him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Don.
Thanks,
Mandy. Okay, we're going to sing our first hymn this morning, and it's a very traditional harvest hymn. I'm sure everybody will know it. And if you've got any more gifts to bring up for the Lord's larder, please do so in the first chorus. So please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful world that we live in. We thank you for all your goodness to us, for all the food that sustains and nourishes us. We thank you for the farmers and growers who provide the food for us to eat. We pray for those countries that do not have enough to eat, for those who are experiencing droughts and floods which stop their crops from growing. Bless them, Father. Bless those charity agencies that endeavour to help them. We know, Father, that even in this country where food is plentiful, there are families that are going hungry day by day. We thank you for the charities like the Lord's Larder who help those in need. Bless the donations we have brought today. We ask that you bless each of the families that will receive the food bags, and we thank you for each of the volunteers who week by week pack and distribute the food. Lord, we are sorry that sometimes we have not looked after your world as we should. We take its beauty for granted, and we are not always grateful for all the gifts that you have given us. Forgive us. Help us at this harvest time to do what we can to share all that we have with those who are less fortunate. Amen. Well, this is a harvest service with a difference. I'm always doing different things. We usually thank God for all his goodness, for all the gifts that we can see, the food that we've got. But today, we're going to look at some of the things that we can see growing and we can eat, but they can help us remind us of our gifts and how we can use our gifts and how we are. So, this is a bit of a quiz as well. So, I hope you've got I hope you're all awake this morning. So, who can tell me what these are? Potatoes, yes. I think everybody likes a potato. They are so versatile, aren't they? You can mash them, chip them, boil them, fry them, roast them. Where would we be without the humble potato? But the potato is very clever. You can plant a potato and then it will grow into more potatoes, which I found out just this summer. I was so excited to dig up my first batch of homegrown potatoes. So who can tell me what we call where the shoots come from? Now the children might not know this, but I'm hoping the adults will be able to tell me. What do we call the bit on the potato where the shoots come out? Thank you, Jim. The eyes. That's right, the eyes. Now, the potato reminds us that we have eyes. We can use our eyes to see the beautiful world God has created for us, but we can also see how we are not looking after this world. We need to use our eyes to see what needs changing and what we can do. So, what is this? Yes? My, Kiana? Yes, sort of wheat. Yeah, wheat or? Begins with a C. Corn. We've got some. Got some here. That's right, corn. This is the traditional symbol of harvest. We see it growing in the fields and watch the farmers harvest it with their big machinery. But does anybody know what part of the body this can remind us of? Ears. Well, oh, well done. You're doing well today. We all have them. Some are big, some are small, some are sticky out, some are sticking in. They don't always work as they should do. We have selective hearing sometimes, which I know with the girls sometimes on a Monday evening. Unless we say, oh, it's time for a biscuit and a drink. You all hear that, don't you? Yes. Sometimes we don't use them for good things. We listen to gossip when we shouldn't. But we can all use them to listen to good advice from those who can help us and advise us, from those who can help us learn to look after our world. Now, you might be wondering why I've included this. This is a bit of a funny one. So who can tell me what flower this is? Tulips. So if you say it quickly, it sounds like tulips. That's right. Tulips are lovely, aren't they? They come in the spring usually. Tulips. We all have them. We can use them for good. But we can also use them for speaking unkind words. We can use them for telling everybody about God's love and also speaking out when the time is right about something we see that is not right. But we need to use them wisely, don't we? Okay, next picture. An easy one. A banana, that's right. But does anybody know what part of the body this represents? Hands, yes. Did you know that, girls? Did you know they were called a hand? A bunch of bananas is called a hand. We use our hands for lots of things, don't we? Oh, let's put the hands on. There we go. Often people say to us when they've got something to do, can you give me a hand? And there's also a saying that many hands make light work. We can work together, can't we? We can work together to change things. On our own, we might not be able to do very much. But if we all work together, if we all work together to recycle, to make sure that we pick up litter, we can all do our little bit. So from the youngest to the oldest, we can still do our bit with our hands. Who can tell me what this is?
Yes.
Cos lettuce, that's right. There's all different sorts of lettuce, aren't there? I like a good lettuce. But do you know what part of the body this represents? A heart. A lettuce has a heart, and also a cabbage as well. The very middle of them is called a heart, and our hearts are vital organs. But it can also represent love, can't it? We can share God's love with everybody we meet. We can use our love for the world that God's given to us to do the right thing. But also a love for our town. You know, it's not just the whole world that we need to look after. We need to look after our town and the people that are in it. We need to act responsibly as we care for them. What's this one? Celery, that's right. Some people like it, some people don't. I don't mind it myself. Any idea what this would represent as a part of the body? Any idea, girls? No? A head. A head of celery. Now, although we've all got them, we sometimes forget to use it properly. God has given us a brain, but we don't always use it properly, do we? We do silly things sometimes. I know I do. We can use our heads and our brains and our intelligence that God has given us to do the right thing for our world. We can also learn from other people, learn about what we can do. So next time you eat one of these vegetables or fruit, just remember the part of the body that it represents. Now, some of our girls have been doing, we're doing a stewardship badge. And we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks how we can care for our world. So they've been looking at the three R's, reduce, reuse, and recycle. So have a look in the next few weeks at things that we're going to be making with all sorts of rubbish. And we'll put them up on the board to show everybody. Now, I'm hoping this works. I came across this years ago, and it's always stuck in my mind, and it's so beautiful. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, Joan, let's hope it works. Isn't that beautiful? Just a man using his hands to depict everything that's in our beautiful world to that lovely song. So I hope you enjoyed that. Now we're going to sing again. We're going to sing a song that I'm not sure. We have sung in church a long time ago, but it's quite a goey one. So we're going to make music. We're going to make beautiful music, maybe not in rhythm, but we'll make some music. Now, some of the girls have got tambourines and whatnot. I do have some more, if anybody would like to play a musical instrument. I will come round. Anybody want to join us in the rhythm? Pretty well, I know. Would you like to take them round? You got your instruments, girls? Good. This is a samba, so it's quite fast. So I'm hoping Eileen and Dave can keep up with this, and I hope we can too. So there are some musical instruments coming around, and we will have a bit of fun. I'm not sure if they all play, but. Get one for yourself, Christine. I know you're dying to play one. Everybody's got one that wants one. When you see the words on the screen, please ignore the words on the right in yellow, because they're the harmonies, and I think that's a step too far this morning. Maybe for another time when we've learnt it a bit more. So please stand if you're able to sing the Harvest Samba.
Yeah.
to mind if we're not in rhythm, so it doesn't matter. We were just having fun. Now, we're going to come to our prayer time, but this is a prayer time with a difference. So normally people sit with their heads bowed or eyes closed, but I'm inviting you to keep your eyes open to this prayer that I found when I was doing lots of things for this service, and it's from the Catholic Agency for Overseas Development. Thank you, Joan. Powerful God, you hold us and everything you have made in your loving care. You are in the whole universe. And in every tiny creature. Pour out on us, God, the power of your love. And teach us to care for life and for beauty. Fill us with peace so that we do not harm others, but love them all like sisters and brothers. God, we know that people who are poor are very special to you, and you want us to love them too, so they are not forgotten. We ask you to change us. So that we protect your world. Not destroy it. Change the hearts of people who only care about themselves and money, instead of caring about people and the earth. Show us how even small things matter. Help us see that we are all connected. To each other and to the earth. We thank you, God, for being with us each day. Fill us up with wonder and light. And help us bring peace to your beautiful world. Amen. Lovely. And now we're going to have our reading.
The reading's Matthew 6, 25 to 33. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered. Not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, Walk out into the fields and look at the wild flowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen colour and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wild flowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you, do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met.
Okay, shopping, we're going shopping. We've also got a table here. My goodness me. I have a lovely shopping bag here from a discount shopper. Other shops are available. There are some ginormous blueberries on this bag. I wish blueberries were really that size, don't you? I mean, you couldn't get it in your pocket. It's bigger than a tennis ball. It's more like a football. And then there's just some boring vegetables on the other side. Kathy, could I just borrow your bag, please? Because you've got a equally exciting shopping bag. You see, you can't come to church without a shopping bag. This is what I've decided. I've even seen a Marks and Spencer's bag over there, but that's too high-end for me. So, I think these are peas. Yes, giant peas. I was afraid for a minute they were going to be Brussels sprouts. But I was okay. They're peas. That is great. Thank you, Kathy. Poor Kathy just sitting there innocently minding her own business and suddenly harangued with a shopping bag. Okay, harvest. My goodness me, so much to think about. Just out of interest, who enjoys going shopping? Yeah, nobody. Okay, that's fine then. I think it's too much to spend, it's too much hassle, and in a certain supermarket at the moment, other supermarkets are available. You can't find anything because they've moved everything. But there we go. That is life. Such is life. You never know what's going to happen. Right, I'm going to borrow this and we'll see what happens here. This is not the one I usually use, so let's try going that way. Oh, yes. Potatoes! Who would have guessed we could have learnt so much from a potato? I think it's quite exciting, really. I like potatoes, I have to say. Probably because, as Mandy said, so many different things happen from it. And in fact, I'm not quite sure why I think this is whizzing on ahead. So, Joan, can you stop it by any chance? Otherwise, some of my colleagues here in church are timing me. They say, you've only got 10 minutes, but it's going to be only 2 minutes if the PowerPoint just goes all the way through. So, let's go back one more, please, Joan, if it's possible, or is it not going to be possible? Go back to the beginning. I think potatoes are really important. That's the one. And then if it's possible to pause it there, but if it isn't, I'll have to talk faster. The thing about the potato is that it is just this humble plant. And Mandy was quite right, that to harvest many, you know, you've just plant this one thing in the ground. Did you know potatoes were first harvested by the Incas? That's nothing to do with pen and ink. The Incas from Peru around 6,000 BC, around 6,000 years before Jesus was born. They were eating potatoes. And then the Spanish conquistadors brought them to Europe. When I was at school, I was always told Sir Francis Drake discovered the potato. Well, of course, he didn't discover it, but he did bring it to England in the late 16th century. And did you also know that a potato is 75% water? So they've got to be healthy, haven't they? It must mean the more you eat, the less you're gaining from them. So, well, that's my theory anyway, but I'm not quite sure about that. So, as Mandy said, you can bake them, you can have them in salad, you can have them as new potatoes, you can roast them, you can mash them, and I wouldn't worry about watching any of the pictures up there, because anything's possible. The other thing that fascinates me with potatoes is they've got all those lovely green leaves on the top, but you can't eat them. The green leaves on the top of a potato are actually poisonous. They're actually related to the deadly nightshade family. You can't eat potato leaves. they're utterly useless, which is odd because you eat cabbage leaves and lettuce leaves. You can even eat carrot tops if you want to, but you can't eat potato leaves. You have to wait. Mandy, were you good at waiting for your harvest?
Oh, no.
No. You see, and I can tell you she's not very patient. But anyway, there we go. That's another story. Ask her more. But yeah, it's quite right. You put this one thing in the ground and you just wait to see what happens. And you get all these beautiful leaves and you go, yes, something's happening. And sometimes you dig them up and there's nothing there, or they're the size of sort of golf balls. What you really want is something like a baking potato, isn't it? Something really large. But you have to wait. You have to have faith. You have to wait and see what happens. In the end, did you know we each eat 103 kilograms of potatoes per annum? That's about 500 medium-sized potatoes. 500 medium-sized potatoes. That's according to a potato grower in Nottinghamshire. But potatoes remind me a bit like life. And you may have seen something that looked like a Venn diagram whizzing past, but we'll forget that for now. Where there are lots of sections with things like family and work and hobbies and school and stuff. You know, we all have stuff, don't we? Usually too much stuff. I think the potato plant is a bit like life. We can't see or know or be certain about what's happening underneath. So we need a bit of faith. We need a bit of trust that the slugs aren't going to eat our potatoes, that they're not going to disappear. We need a bit of faith and trust in life. We have to wait and see. But how will we give our time? What are the things we prioritize? In that reading that Wendy read for us this morning, Matthew, when he was writing, said, there is far more to life than food you put in your stomach, more to the outer appearance than clothes that you hang on your body. It's like when you go picking blackberries. Who's gone picking blackberries this year? Yeah. Oh, come on, the rest of you. This is appalling. They're not going to be around for much longer. They're quite wet and soggy. You really have to search them out. When you pick blackberries and you get to a blackberry bush, do you go, yeah, I'm going to go for all of them? And do you take them all off? Do you leave some behind?
Yeah.
Now that's good. We should. We should leave some behind. We leave things behind. And we sort of leave things behind for Jesus in the way we live our lives. Do we leave kindness, forgiveness, understanding? Or do we just leave something more akin to shriveled, dried up, wet and mushy fruit? Anger, envy, frustration. Hopefully not. There was a picture of some people wearing stewards. High-vis jackets, yippee, there we go. In life, we don't really own anything, do we? We're really just a steward. The word steward means hall keeper. And longer ago, you know, you would have had a steward at the door of your medieval hall going, whoa, I don't know if I'll let you in. Whoa, are you friend or foe? Whoa. Well, something like that, anyway. Now we just have stewards on our church doors who go, good morning, hello, would you like to come in? Well, something like that. But we're stewards. We don't all have high-vis jackets, but we look after things. We're all stewards of God's creation. We're like the hall keeper of the world. It's not just about football crowd control or the person who gets you onto an aeroplane or, things like that. We're the guardians of God's world. Now, I'd like to show you an illustration of what being a guardian is like, but unfortunately, I need some people to help me. Two or three? Anybody care to come up and help me? Come and give me a helping hand. It's very simple. You don't have to say anything, but you do have to put a hat on.
Oh, Jazz and Sarah, come up.
Go on.
Come on, you two go big on. Ones. Show them go how on. It's done.
And just come and stand by my beautiful table, which I prepared earlier. Okay, this is really good. So, Jazz? Jazz, I'm going to give you this hat. It says wilderness on the front. That's because you are God. All right? So you can put the hat on. You are God. If by any chance that offends some people, just remember the joke of the person who went to heaven and then came back. And they said, well, what was it like? Did you see God? And they said, yes, I did. And they said, well, what was God like? And he said, well, for starters, she's black. So, you know, God is beyond our understanding. If you think you know what God looks like or how big God is or how small God is, you don't. We've got it totally wrong. So anyway, you're going to be God. And then we also need humankind. The fireman's hat. Because we tend to rush around as human beings thinking, yay, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to be the one who puts everything right. I know better than God. Is that right? Yeah, exactly. You see, you've got it in one. Right. So, God, I don't actually want you to look in this bag, but in a moment I'm going to ask you to take things out of this bag. Okay, so have the bag, and we're going to take them out one at a time. Okay? And humankind, you have another bag. It does say stop, look, listen, but that's pretty good. All right. And you're going to take some things out of your bag as well in a minute, but we'll see what those are. So, God, first of all, as part of your creative process, would you take out the first animal, please, that is in your bag? Okay, can you tell us what it is? It's a frog. Put Froggy on the table. And humankind, would you like to take out your first envelope? There we go. Right, and there's a piece of paper in the envelope. It's a mystery prize. Would you like to take out the piece of paper and read what it says? The big green field, right. So we're going to put the frog in the big green field. Second animal, please. God's creating, and God has got...
A monkey.
Okay, and humankind, where are we going to put the monkey?
Hiding in the coral,
okay? So in our infinite wisdom as human beings, we put the monkey in the coral reef. Next animal, please. It's a fish, beautiful fishy. That was supplied to me earlier by somebody who'll be nameless, thank you. Okay, and where are we going to put the fish? Oh, the big blue sea. We may have got that one right. I'm not saying. Okay, and again, we've got seven to go, so keep going. Otherwise, my colleagues...
A sheep.
Sorry, what noise do sheep make? Burr. Burr. It's not a very happy sheep. Can we have another go at that? Bah. Bah. Sorry, can we imitate sheep, please? Oh, you see, they're better sheep than you are. They'll follow me. They'll go anywhere I stay. Right. Where are we going to put the sheep?
Does it really exist at all?
Oh my goodness me. So, sorry folks, if you were buying, clearly you're mythical. Okay. What is it?
It's
the Loch Ness Monster. It's alive, you see? Who says there's no such thing as the Loch Ness Monster? It's alive. Where are you going to put the Loch Ness Monster? Okay then, right. Thank you. The white snowfields of North America. Don't ever go on an Arctic holiday. Okay, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Two more to go.
A little moose.
Sorry, I thought moose are quite big. But anyway, yes, it's a little moose. my wife and I can't get over the fact we went to Iceland on holiday once and the foreign Icelandic person wasn't very good with their English. And she said, yes, for pudding, you're going to have yogurt or a mouse. It's a chocolate mouse. I said, no, it's not a chocolate mouse, it's a chocolate moose. But anyway, that's a complete red herring. Oh, there's another animal. Where are we going to put the moose?
The great forest treetops.
The great forest treetops. Okay, is that going to work? No, it's very odd. And one more to go, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Last one. A what?
A whale.
A whale. Thank you, God. A whale. A whale. And where are we going to put the whale?
The big brown pond.
The big brown pond. So unfortunately, as stewards, we don't always get it right, even with the best of intentions, even when we're dressed up properly for the job, even when we think we're brilliant, we mess up God's creation. We really need somebody else to help us. We need a Mr. or Mrs. Fixer. Come on then. Come on. Come on. And as a fixer, you're just an ordinary person. There we go. Can you put the animals in the right places? And if you want to talk to God about it, he's a really good idea. She's a really good idea, but I wouldn't talk to humankind, because clearly they've made a complete pig's ear of it. Can you put them in the right places? So we're going, yeah. Talk to God if you're not sure. He's quite good at answering our ideas. Okay, humankind, can you just tell us where we put the animals now?
So the sheep goes in the big green field, the fish goes hiding in the coral, the whale goes in the big blue sea, the Loch Ness Monster doesn't really exist at all. You've got the frog that goes in the big brown pond, the monkey in the great forest treetop, and the white snow goes in North America is where you find the moon.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your help and assistance. Much appreciated. Okay, one more slide, please, Joan. The key is deciding how much time and effort or passion we give to what. How much do we leave for ourselves and others, and how much do we leave for God? This is a really old short video clip, and it's one of the very first ones I ever used, but it still speaks volumes, I think. Here's a man enjoying a pizza. Have you ever tried enjoying a pizza on your own? See what happens. Sorry, Joan, go on.
Thank you.
Dude, he brought the pie. God was the one who brought the pie, the pizza, in the first place. So what do we give back to God from the creation world that he's given us? Onward, please, Joan, if it will. So here are some practical things we could do to show that we want to give back to God. Go on, Joan. We could recycle more. Mandy's already mentioned that. A quick list, Joan, here we go. Encourage diversity for wildlife in our gardens. Make those hedgehog doors for hedgehogs to get through. Grow a few nettles for the butterflies. Do things like that. We could be more energy efficient. Turn off the bedroom light. What else could we do? We could eat more sustainably and maybe finish what we're given rather than just leaving bits, or actually eat the crusts off the bread. You know, be realistic. Avoid waste. And then reduce fossil fuel use in travel. If we can walk into town, maybe we should walk into town. And finally, but most importantly, give part of me to God, even if it's just a thank you each day, at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day. We need to get our priorities sorted. As Matthew again said in that reading, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Have a look at these prayerful thoughts just before we finish. Thank you, Joan. So here are some moments when we can just think about how God could stir us to pray for his creation, not just now, but at any time. Thank you, Joan. Thanking God for the beauty and richness of creation. Thinking about the things that in nature are really special to us. Praying for those who spend time working the land or caring for creation. The parts of creation that are groaning, you know, where there are forest fires and where things are being destroyed. Our leaders and the human race that are responsible for what's happening around us and in our world. And then pray for ourselves as we make choices to be good stewards of this world. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And that includes potatoes and you and me. Thank you, Mandy.
All the things you have learnt this morning. We're going to have our final song now. You might recognise some of the tune, but it does change a little bit during the chorus part. So please stand if you're able, and we're going to sing We See the Fruitful Harvest. Sorry. Okay, Joan. Yeah.
See the fruitful harvest our gracious God provides, and how in his abundance our needs are satisfied. He sends the yearly seasons and feeds with joy and care pure light and living water for all to share. Lord of all the harvest, creation brings you praise, so we will join the joyful song of everything you've made.
And just a reminder that after our service, we do have refreshments. We are having a lunch as well, so if you would like to stay for our lunch later on, we would be very pleased for you to join with us. Even if you haven't booked in, don't let that stop you. If you want to get tea and coffee, please bring them back into church as the hall is laid up for lunch. And now our final prayer. As you leave this place, may you tread lightly through God's creation, eyes open to see its beauty, nose alert to fragrant fruit and flowers, tongue grateful for each delicious flavour, ears listening for bird song, the rustle of leaves and the patter of raindrops, hands open to care for the earth, hands refraining from grasping. God sends you out to tread lightly through his creation. Go in peace, in Jesus' name. Amen.